Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast, we're talking all about how to get fluent in 3 months. Is this actually possible? And can you even do it without leaving your home country? What does fluency actually mean? If you continue listening, then we answer all of these questions and more. And of course, as always, if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you'll find some bonus material there that complements this podcast. So make sure you check it out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
refreshing
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, out in your farm, or even
watering and taking care of your plants.
Yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio, first off, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How are you doing, Ethan?
I'm doing fantastic. And by the thunder down under, Ollie.
Yeah, I was expecting you to say that. Yes, I'm doing well here. It's the sun's out, the sky is blue, and life is good.
It's good to hear. I think Andrea and I are enjoying finally some spring weather. So looking forward to stealing summer away from the Southern Hemisphere.
Yay, I can't wait.
I thought it was always hot in Spain.
It's not, no. We have all four seasons here.
Maybe in the south.
Maybe in the south a bit more, yeah. Or the Canaries. The Canaries is certainly always warm. So in today's podcast, we are talking about a pretty hot topic. And a question that I've heard a lot of people ask is, can I actually get fluent in 3 months? And for a lot of you listening, you might also think that this just sounds like something crazy. How can you possibly get fluent in a language in 3 months? So we're going to talk about, is this possible? And if it is possible, what can you do to actually accomplish that? And why would you say this is so important, Andrea?
I think it's important because lots of people maybe get confused or get swayed by something that potentially isn't true. Maybe you can be taken advantage of as well. Like if someone is promising you the world and then they don't really deliver on that and you don't actually achieve this, it can be really quite frustrating and upsetting.
Definitely. I think it could cause a lot of people to give up too when you're expecting something maybe to be quick or easy and it's not actually that way. Having those really high expectations can make it a lot hard to actually push through when that mountain is bigger than you expected.
Exactly. And it's also important to think about what fluency actually means, because maybe if you ask different people, you'll get different answers to this question. It's important to kind of determine what that actually means.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of learners that think that when they're fluent in English, they won't make any mistakes. Is that true?
Definitely not. It's okay to make mistakes in English. And like a lot of you know that I'm a learner of Portuguese. And while I don't consider myself a fluent speaker or a native speaker, my fluency is enough to be able to survive and go about daily tasks here in Brazil.
It's interesting that you said that your fluency is enough. So it's like really fluency isn't like this point that you arrive there and like, you know, today I'm fluent. It's really a spectrum. There's all sorts of different levels of fluency, and there's kind of like basic fluency, which is obviously that you can kind of like hold your own in a conversation, meaning that, you know, you can survive in that conversation. And there's obviously more advanced levels of fluency where you're very confident. Maybe you can even get to almost the same level of confidence that you would have if you were communicating in your mother tongue. So within that spectrum, you can fall in many different places. And as long as you're kind of working on improving all the time, you're seeing those mistakes as kind of like stepping stones to fluency, as things that are helping you to achieve higher levels of that goal, then you're going to be successful and you'll avoid a lot more disappointments, right?
Yeah, and we often say here as well that you want to be understood and understand anyone. So you want to be understood by anyone and you want to understand anyone. And it's not about being perfect. You know, we tend to say a lot, connection over perfection. You know, by learning a language, it allows you to connect with other people that speak that language. And really, most people don't care if you make mistakes. It's really not a problem. But like you said, you can use them then to learn and improve.
Yeah, I think that so many people fall in the trap of thinking that, you know, someday they'll start speaking English when they've studied enough. And you definitely don't want to fall into that trap, because you'll never get to that point where you're comfortable enough, where you're fluent enough to start speaking. It's like the fluency comes from speaking. And like Andrea said, language is a tool for communication, so you better start using it to communicate. So we're excited to talk a lot more about these ideas, as you can already see. But before we get ahead of ourselves, we need to give a shout out to a very special listener out there.
Yeah, and today's shout out comes from William. He says, "Hi, Ethan, Andrea, Justin, and the new teacher from Australia. I'm William from Taiwan. Thank you guys for your awesome podcast. Real Life English Podcast is my first and the only podcast channel that I've ever listened to. You guys not only help me improve my listening comprehension, but also help me set up several goals that I've yearned to achieve. Furthermore, you guys make me become an avid reader just like Ethan. Hope you guys keep making more wonderful podcast episodes and sharing more great books." Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that, William, you found some good books from us and that that's been helpful on achieving your goals. What does that mean, that I've yearned to achieve something?
It means like you've been wanting to do it for a long time, a great desire to do something or to be successful in something.
Exactly. And William also apologized for saying the new teacher from Australia and not calling you by your name, Ollie. And he said that's because he didn't know how to spell it. So maybe you better help all listeners all over the world out there by letting them know how you actually spell your name.
Okay. First of all, William, I accept your apology. Yeah, my name is really... Well, actually, my name's Oliver, but for as long as I can remember, people have called me Ollie. And there's a couple of different ways you can spell Ollie, but my spelling is O-L-L-I-E.
Fantastic. So now the mystery is solved.
It's solved.
And if you want us to shout you out, all you have to do is, for example, head over to the show notes of this podcast over on our blog, reallifeglobal.com. That's what William did, and he left us a nice comment over on one of our episodes over there. Or you could also head over to Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to us there, and leave us a 5-star review. And when you do this, the fantastic thing is you're helping other learners from all around the world to have a lot of fun learning with us. So that said, we are bringing back one of our favorite old sections. We're going to talk about a kick-ass quote.
So today's quote comes from George Bernard Shaw, who was an Irish playwright. And the quote is, "Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything."
You didn't want to try that with your Irish accent?
No, I'm rubbish at accents. I wish I could do them. I think they're fun.
I like your American accent.
Thanks.
You're quite good at the American.
That's the only one I can do, really.
What exactly does this quote mean, Andrea?
Well, I think it's quite a good one for today, because if we're talking about fluency and achieving goals, it's just a reminder that to make progress, you have to change. So even if something is going well, you can continue with that for a period of time. But then at some point, in order to make further progress, you're going to have to change something. But then also you need to change your mindset. So, you know, not getting frustrated when something isn't working, but rather actually thinking about how you can change the situation or try something new, and having more of a growth mindset, which we've spoken about a bit before, not having a fixed mindset and, you know, having all this negative talk and just giving up and saying that you can't do it, but actually saying, well, no, this isn't working for me right now, but I'm going to try something new, or I'm going to change, or, you know, just have these different ideas and more of a positive mindset.
I think that goes into being flexible and adaptable to like situations that you might find a little bit difficult, especially like trying to gain fluency in English. You need to be flexible, adaptable, and learn from things that you do well and things that you don't do so well.
I think that's one of the really great things about learning a language too, is it's such an opportunity to become much more flexible and adaptable to situations, especially if you get the opportunity to travel and stuff. You'll be in all these situations where you're in a different culture, people act differently than you do, maybe you don't fully understand everything that's going on. And I think it can be such an opportunity really to grow in many ways beyond just like learning the language and just like having an open mind and learning to laugh at yourself when things don't exactly go as you planned and learning to be adaptable as well, you know, when plans fall through. So I think probably all three of us have like many experiences in traveling to different places where things don't go as planned and you have to really just, you know, make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, I mean, you can either become red-faced or just laugh it off. And I often become red-faced, but I need to like learn to laugh it off. So I think this lesson is going to be good for me as well.
What does that mean, to laugh it off?
Yeah, so to laugh something off is basically don't take yourself so seriously, especially in this situation. If the other person doesn't understand you or you don't understand the other person, don't take it to heart. Don't take it so emotionally. And just laugh it off and things will be okay.
I think that's so important because when you're learning, I know a lot of people's biggest fear when they're learning a language is that people will laugh at them when they make mistakes. But if you learn to laugh at yourself, then instead of them laughing at you, you're just all laughing together about that funny mistake you made.
Yeah. And Ollie, you also mentioned something else there. You said red-faced. So you said there are moments where you become very red-faced. What does that mean?
Yeah, so when you become very red-faced, it's actually when your face turns really red. You get really nervous and maybe shy and embarrassed about what you've done or what you've said. I definitely get red-faced in a lot of situations in Portuguese, but it's important, as I said earlier, to try and laugh off that situation to make yourself feel a little less nervous and a little bit more comfortable. Because like when you're learning a language, you don't have to be perfect. As long as you're getting your message across, I think that's one of the most important things, and laugh at yourself on that journey.
Oh, yeah. So this conversation, I'd say, is perfect for us to roll right into today's main topic. Hiya, global citizen. Would you like transcripts for these episodes of the podcast so that you can understand everything? And how would you like to practice what you learn here by speaking with other listeners? It sounds like a dream, right? Well, now it is a reality. We're super excited to announce that we have started testing and are getting ready to release the much anticipated Real Life English podcast and speaking app, where you will be able to do all of this at the touch of a button for free. But before we launch our app to thousands and eventually millions of learners from around the world, we're inviting a small group of our friends and special fans to get a unique first look. I want to invite you to join us for private beta testing. You will exclusively be allowed to download and test the app and participate in scheduled speaking events. Most importantly, we'll use your feedback to guide us in building a world-class real-life English listening and speaking experience. To apply for our private beta testing program, go to reallifeglobal.com/reallifeapp or click the link in the description of this podcast. Okay, so to start off, we should definitely talk about, is it possible even to get fluent in 3 months? What does this mean? Why do people say this? Why do schools promise that they can help you to get fluent in 3 months?
Yeah, so I guess lots of schools promise this to try and get you to sign up to their courses, but really you need to kind of have some common sense here and actually think, if I'm going to a class once a week or twice a week or three times a week even, am I really going to get fluent in just 3 months? And the answer to that is probably no. It's not enough to just do this. So don't fall into that trap.
Mm-hmm. As humans, we tend to have like this psychology that we always want the quick and easy fix. We want a magic pill. So obviously it would be very attractive if someone said, hey, take this pill and you'll be fluent in English. And that's essentially what these schools are trying to promise you, is something that's impossible. But that doesn't mean that necessarily it's not possible to actually get fluent in 3 months if you have the right strategy to go about it, right?
A lot of schools promise it, but I wouldn't really think about it as a promise. I would think about it as a challenge for yourself. What type of person are you? Can you challenge yourself to actually become fluent in 3 months?
I think definitely that's a really good point to make, is like actually setting yourself challenges and stuff and seeing like, what can I achieve in an amount of time? So something I've used a lot in the past are actually like 30-day challenges. So you're seeing like, how much can I achieve of something in a month? And you can say like, I don't know, for example, I'm going to have a 10-minute conversation in English every day for 30 days. And you can kind of see, like, that doesn't sound like very much. But if you actually did that for 30 days every single day and you didn't miss a single day of having that English practice in, then all of a sudden at the end of those 30 days, I'm sure you'd feel much more confident. You probably would have corrected a lot of mistakes that you make, and you probably would be feeling a lot more fluent. So I think like having those kind of things where it's like an amount of time and something that kind of scares you a little bit can be really effective in that way. I know a lot of people too, when they hear this, they think like, you know, the only way for that to happen is if I actually go live in the US or the UK or Australia. Is that actually true?
No, not at all. Like I'm living proof because when I first moved to Barcelona, like in my first year, I barely spoke Spanish. I could just, you know, string a few words together, make some phrases, like communicate in a way, but not really speaking Spanish or anything because it wasn't really my focus. So, you know, if you go somewhere and you've got like a year or 6 months, you really have to think about how you're going to use your time there to get fluent in a language. So it could be a really good opportunity if you're able to do that, but it's really not the answer. It's not the thing that's going to make you get fluent.
Totally. I've met like so many people who have studied abroad and they come back and they've barely gotten any better at the language than they were when they left.
Yeah. I mean, I'm living proof of that. I studied in France for 6 months. And Andrea, you said something really interesting. It wasn't your focus. And even though I went to France to study and learn French at university, it wasn't really my focus. Like I made all my friends were English speakers. So again, I think it comes down, what's your focus? If you have the right focus, the right mindset, then it is achievable.
Mm. Yeah. When I studied abroad in Mallorca in university, I saw a lot of people who, you know, they were there as well to learn Spanish and everything, but they spent all of their time, like on the weekends, for example, they would go out with the other Americans, like go out and party with other people that spoke English. And I, on the other hand, like I really put myself out there so that I could actually be around people all the time who spoke Spanish. So I think as both of you guys said, it's like really, you have to have the intention when you go that you're going to put in that hard work to meet people, to be in uncomfortable situations and, you know, make local friends so that actually like that time is time well spent.
Exactly. Pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to something that you probably don't always do or you're not very familiar with. But I think like living outside of your comfort zone is where great things happen. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. I think I stole that from somewhere.
All right, so it's really important to actually like think about that if you can't even figure out how to do this in your home country, about how to start practicing your speaking where you are right now, then going abroad probably won't really be that magic pill for you. So now we could actually talk a little bit about some strategies that can help you, whether you actually have the chance to go live abroad or if you're sitting home in the place where you're born, that you can use to get some level of fluency in 3 months. So what's the first tip, Andrea?
So the first tip is to focus on speaking from day one. So you want to have as much exposure to the language as possible, because it's something that a lot of learners tend to do, is not focus on the speaking to begin with. They focus on everything else, which does sometimes work. But if you're also speaking at the same time, you're going to accelerate your progress. And from my experience as well as a Spanish learner, I know that, you know, at the beginning, I was saying some words here and there, but then the more you do that, you're actually going to progress. And if you're communicating with other people, they're speaking back to you in Spanish. So that's going to help you kind of piece the sentences together and kind of understand the language more as well. And it's going to help your confidence as well, because I know the scariest thing when learning a language is actually speaking it. But if you start with that from day one and you kind of have this mindset of not being afraid of the mistakes that you're making, but just focusing on your communicating and you're connecting with people, then that's really going to make a huge impact on your progress.
Yeah, Ollie and I were just talking about before we started the podcast, this guy who's very famous in the polyglot community, in the community of language learners. His name's Benny the Irish Polyglot. And he actually has a program that's called, I think it's called Speak From Day One or Speak in a Week or something like that. And he'll actually will take you through this and get you by the end of 1 week speaking a language that you've never learned anything. So you'll start with a language that you know maybe zero words in, and by the end, you'll be able to have like a short conversation in it. And his focus really is on that, like from the very first day that you're going to start studying, you're going to start working already on speaking. And how he suggests doing this is actually like creating a script to make an introduction. So, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're not at day zero of your English learning, so you're already understanding most of what we're saying. So you can't exactly apply this to you, but if you are not already in the habit of speaking with people, you can still use this principle of creating a script to introduce yourself so that you can have that perfect introduction when you do get the chance to speak with someone, and you'll feel so much more confident because it's something that you can already have been practicing on your own. You could even record yourself and listen back and kind of correct your mistakes, correct your pronunciation. And then when you get the chance to perform, it's just going to be like second nature to you because you've already gotten your practice in.
Yeah, Ethan, you were talking about like creating a script as an activity. And over on our Real Life English YouTube channel, we actually made a lesson of 8 activities that you can do to practice your speaking at home alone. So make sure you check that out after you finish listening to this podcast.
For sure. And we'll link that in the description of this podcast. So you can just go look in the description, you'll find that, or you can go to the show notes over on reallifeglobal.com and you'll find it there as well.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
So what's the next tip?
So the next tip is to stop speaking in your native language. So continuing to speak in your native language, especially when you can be speaking in English, the language that you're here to learn, might hurt you and you might actually not even develop your speaking skills. So it's really important to, if you're an Indonesian speaker, stop speaking in Indonesian and start to speak in English.
I think that it's a really good point, especially if you're living abroad. And it's kind of what we were talking about before, is that a lot of people fall into that trap that they'll just hang out with people from their home country. But even if you're in your home country, this might sound like ridiculous advice, but it still can apply. I mean, there's going to be situations, obviously, where you have to use your native language because you can't just be like a weird person who doesn't communicate with anyone with anything but English. But you can create all sorts of situations where you're speaking English as much as possible. Maybe you could go hang out in a touristic area and kind of pretend that you're a tourist and stuff and actually try doing things in English. Or you can even just do this when you're at home alone. As Ollie said, we just made a video giving you a bunch of different tips to practice your speaking at home alone. The idea here is that you maximize the amount of time that you're spending every day speaking and listening to things in English.
What does it mean if you maximize something?
You take it to its very highest level, to its very maximum level, right? Do you want to share the next tip, Andrea?
Yeah, so another thing you can do is, well, if you're living in the country where the spoken language is in English, you could create missions that require you to go out and use a specific part of the language. So if you're feeling nervous and you're just, you know, at home studying, set yourself a challenge and learn the vocabulary you need to actually go out and do something. So it could be something simple like getting your hair cut, buying a SIM card or something, ordering a coffee. You can start off with these small tasks, these small challenges, but you can do some prep work beforehand, get ready for it, go out and actually accomplish it. And that's not only going to help you to practice getting fluent and speaking English, but it's also going to do wonders for your confidence too.
Yeah, they say that talking to yourself is the first sign of madness, but actually when you're learning English, it could be a really useful tool. And also if you're, as Andrea said, thinking about these activities and real life situations and speaking to yourself, record yourself so you can listen to yourself back and be your own judge. Don't be too harsh on yourself. You're here to learn and you'll get better from that experience.
You can definitely already identify like so many mistakes and so many things to improve on your own without the use of a native or anything. But of course, like getting a native teacher or even a non-native teacher who knows more than you do can be really helpful for all of this. And I think like a lot of these things too, we're saying like if you're the person who doesn't have the opportunity to go live abroad or anything, like, still don't feel bad. You can still use the ideas and kind of like simulate the experience. You don't actually have to go get a haircut in English. You could like imagine, I know what it's like to go get a haircut in my native language. What do I usually have to say? And then you can kind of imagine, okay, I'm going to pretend that I'm in London and I have to get my hair cut. Okay, what am I going to actually say to this person? And that's actually really good because, like, you never know. Maybe you're traveling and you want to get your hair cut. And that, for me, is, like, still, I still have troubles doing that in, like, another language because I don't even know how properly in English to say that. So it's something that can be really useful to practice.
I definitely play out those situations in my head. Like, for example, I went to the medical clinic yesterday. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen when I go in? What do I need to do? Like, trying to imagine what it's like back home in Australia. And then, you know, how is the system the same? How is it different? What questions will I expect to be asked? What will I need to give? So, yeah, it's really useful to do that.
It's fun to do with other learners as well. So for example, if you live with someone else that is learning English, or if you have a friend that is close by and you're able to see each other, like, you could do these role plays together.
Yeah. I used to actually have a student too who, I mean, he lived in Brazil, he was Brazilian, and he had a like an hour commute or something to work every day. And he actually like used his time in his car to do different things like this, to imagine like he had to have a conversation about something he just read or heard on the radio or anything like that. So be creative with it, have fun with it, and like really, you can get so much accomplished without even having ever to go live in a native-speaking country, as long as you're proactive. All right, how else can someone who isn't living in an English-speaking country, or even if you're living in an English-speaking country, what are some other tips that they can use to take their fluency to the next level and maybe even get fluent in 3 months?
Yeah, so you need to make sure that you're getting a lot of input. It's essential, really. So input is, rather than you producing the language, it's you receiving the language. So you can do this by reading, listening to podcasts, the Real Life English podcast, which you're doing right now, and watching TV series and movies. And I always tell my learners that when you're reading, often like a big book of over 200 or 300 pages is a little daunting. So find a book that has short stories in English, because the commitment isn't that much and you might only spend 10 or 15 minutes each day reading. And then you can say to yourself, yep, I've achieved that. I've got my 15 minutes of reading in today, and then I'll focus on my 15 minutes tomorrow.
You said it can sound daunting. What does that mean?
Oh, daunting. It means a little scary.
That's a really great word. I think like two reading, no matter what you read, it doesn't have to be a book even, it can be like the newspaper, it can be Twitter, whatever. It's really the best way to encounter new vocabulary and stuff. So definitely read as much as possible. Figure out whatever you enjoy reading in your native language and start reading that in English. It could be a novel, it could be short stories, it could be poetry, it could be Twitter, whatever the case. Just do it as much as possible.
So going back to listening and maybe watching TV series or movies, you can also follow people on Instagram. A lot of the Portuguese that I've learned is because of the influencers in Brazil that I follow, because they make videos, they often write words on the videos, and that's a way that you can immerse yourself and get input in English as well by following influencers.
Yeah, that's a really great suggestion. I had a friend who had just like phenomenal French, and I was like, how did you do it? This is like a language I really want to learn as well. And she said like she learned just by watching French vloggers. So like a vlogger is like someone who talks about their life basically on YouTube. And it's like really a great idea because like these people are usually just talking about like everyday situations that they've had and things like that. And oftentimes they're also humorous, but it's things that are really practical. I mean, that's the kind of language that you really need, is to like be able to talk about things that have happened to you. So that could be something interesting to try as well. Like whether it's on Instagram or on YouTube or wherever you prefer to watch videos.
TikTok. Actually, my TikTok is programmed again to Brazil. Yeah, it's programmed to Brazil. And I can find myself like scrolling for, you know, I was going to say hours, but it's not hours. And it's just like listening to Portuguese. And that's how I'm, you know, getting input, learning new words. So if you're a fan of TikTok, download TikTok and yeah, follow some English influencers. And that's how you're going to learn some new words.
Yeah, oftentimes they're very funny too. So, I mean, it's always great when you add laughter to your language learning. I think it tends to stick much better. So we're talking about like input and stuff, and we're talking about getting fluent. How does this all help you to actually get fluent in English, Andrea?
So it's really important, of course, to make sure that you're getting a lot of input, but then you do also need to still practice your output, whether you're writing or speaking. And I think there's also a misconception that when you speak English, you have to speak with natives. And of course, if you have that opportunity, it's great, but it could actually be better for you as well to practice speaking with non-natives, because if you're speaking with another language learner, then they're going through the same thing as you. It can be a lot less daunting, which is a word that we just learned about, and you'll be able to empathize with each other because you're in the same boat, you're going through the same thing, you're going to be patient with each other, and you'll definitely be able to practice and learn from each other as well. And I think another really important thing as well, I just made a lesson on the Real Life English channel about this, but it's also really important to remember that most of the world's English speakers are actually non-natives. So if you have this aim to only speak with natives, you're really restricting yourself. And I would say, don't do that. Don't think in that way. It's really not essential to your learning.
Yeah. I think too, it's just like, it's totally unrealistic and it's not pragmatic at all, because at least most people I know here who have to speak English in their job, it's not usually with like Brits or Americans. It's usually, you know, there might be in the business meeting a Brazilian, a German, and a person from Thailand or something like that. It's like, you know, usually a blend of people from all over the world and they're all speaking English. So I think too, you'll be much more prepared for whatever's thrown your way. You know, if you've practiced with people from Germany, from Ukraine, from Indonesia, then you're kind of going to be tuning your ear to being able to understand people no matter what accent they have. Because I think people who don't do this, if you were only practicing ever with Australians or only with Americans or only with Brits, then maybe you wouldn't be so prepared for those kind of situations and you might find it more daunting. You might find that you get lost and stuff by these people because you're not expecting people to speak with whatever accent it is. You're not so worldly in that way.
Yeah, and it also goes beyond even work. Like I've traveled through Europe, like backpacked through Europe, and like I'm sitting in the hostel down in reception and I can hear English. And it's quite funny because they're not what we would traditionally call a native speaker. It's a guy from Belgium who's speaking to a guy from China and they're speaking English because that's like the common language, right?
Exactly. So I think if you want to really be a part of this global world and everything, I think that can be really helpful that you've prepared yourself for that. And I think the objection that a lot of people have to this too is that they think by speaking to other learners that that's going to make their English worse. Is that the case?
No, not at all. Because, I mean, if you're also doing the input, if you're doing the other kind of study tasks, you're reading, you're listening to podcasts, you're doing all these things, then it's not going to hinder your progress so much. And it's actually going to expose you to a lot more people. You're going to meet people from around the world, which is amazing, which is really what we want from learning a language, is to be meeting people and connecting with people. So it's not going to hinder your progress. If you make mistakes, you could probably pick up on that with each other and you can actually learn from the mistakes. So it's going to be like an opportunity to study as well. And just remember that if you're speaking with a non-native, and you might also pick up on their mistakes, so already you're kind of aware of it, so it's not really going to be an issue. You can use it as a learning opportunity.
You said that it won't hinder your progress. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think I like that word quite a lot. I feel like I say it a lot. So hinder is another way to say like to damage or to stop like your progress. It's going to kind of get in the way of something.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think too, a big part of that too, is that you need to see that the mistakes are part of the journey, and like you need to make a lot of mistakes. And then when you're at home studying alone is like the time when you're going to be correcting those, not when you're actually out kind of performing by having that English conversation. And I think this is too, it's where if you can swing it, if you can make it happen, it can be really great to get a teacher who can actually help you. You know, you'll be in a session like speaking with them and they have like the training to help you to correct these mistakes and everything. So that will be like really your time to focus on the mistakes. But when you're out there having conversations, communicating, that's more where you're focusing on your fluency, on like being able to translate what you're thinking in your head into what's coming out of your mouth.
And lastly, just remember that the purpose of a language is communication, like we've mentioned quite a few times. So it does require you to be social. So if you're an introvert, you should still try and get out there in many ways as you can and meet new people. So if you're an introvert, it means that you're maybe not as sociable. in large groups, you probably prefer to spend time on your own or just with some people you're very close with. But this is something that you kind of, it's a challenge, of course, but it's something that you need to try and do to really help you to get out there and speak the language. And if you are an introvert, then I highly recommend you watch a lesson that Ethan made on the Real Life English channel, in which he talks about being an introvert or an extrovert and tips as well on how you can still practice the language and grow your confidence when learning English.
Well said. And we'll link that in the description of the podcast and also over on the show notes on reallifeglobal.com. And I'm definitely like living proof of this. I mean, that comes from my own experience. I am an introvert for sure. And I have spent a lot of my life like being very shy. And I would invite you to see learning a language as an opportunity to overcome your shyness. Because I mean, when I first moved to Barcelona, I went to all these different like language exchanges and all sorts of different like events and stuff where I could speak different languages with people. And that like really forced me to come out of my shell to really put myself out there and overcome the shyness. So that's helped me in other areas of my life as well. So I think if you do this, that learning that language, overcoming your shyness, that will have all sorts of benefits in all other areas of your life and anything else you want to accomplish.
Absolutely. I think like the message, or one of the main messages in this podcast, is to jump outside of your comfort zone, to test yourself, to challenge yourself. And if you do that, then you're going to see the results.
Amazing things can happen.
Oh yeah. And just before we wrap up, we didn't want to leave without letting you know that we have, as always, pretty much as always, maybe sometimes we forget, but we have an exclusive lesson over on Instagram that will connect perfectly with everything that we've talked about today and will help you start practicing your speaking and getting fluent, who knows, maybe in 3 months. So we look forward to seeing you over there. And thanks so much for joining us on the Real Life English Podcast. We'll see you next week. 1, 2, 3.
Ah, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger, you can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our Real Life Native Immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning Series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.